Okay. Morning, people. Today's daf is daf Lamed Daled in Zvachim. Okay, it's really yesterday's daf, today's daf are connected or combined. We're still a little bit behind. We're on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. We're starting on the very top with the words Ravina Amar. The Lamed Beis Amud Aleph is really where this whole story gets started. In 32b, the Gemara there quotes a statement by Ula, who quotes in the name of Reish Lakish. And it goes like this, that if you have a Tamei who puts his hands inside the Beis HaMikdash, he's going to get Malkus, right? And what is that? What is the Chiddush of Ula? Quotes in the name of Reish Lakish. The Chiddush is very straightforward. That when you put your hands into the Beis HaMikdash, that's like you walked into the Beis HaMikdash, right? The terminology that he uses is Bia B'Mikdash, Have Bia Shema Bia. That's just a partial entrance into the Beis HaMikdash, that's called an entrance. And even though we could segregate the body and we could say, well, your hands and your, you know, it's just a minority of your body, it's not even your body, it's just your extremities. But still, that's the Chiddush of Ula, that walking in partially is considered, in fact, walking in totally. And so therefore, you're going to get malchus. You're going to get lashes, and presumably you're going to get karis as well. Right? If you walk into the Beis HaMikdash while tamei, you're going to get karis. So, and as long as you consider a partial walking into the Beis HaMikdash considered an entrance, you're going to get karis for that as well. That's the simple pshat behind Ula, who quotes in the name of Reish Lakish. The Gemara on 32b, Amud Beis, Amud Beis, spent its entire, the rest of the Amud, right? His statement was towards the top of the Amud. The rest of the Amud was dedicated to trying to question him, challenge him, based on that very, very interesting case where you had a Mitzorah whose eighth day comes out in Erev Pesach, and in addition to being a Mitzorah, he's also Bal Keri. And the question was, can he be Mitar himself? And the Braisa says, sure. And the Gemara says, according to Ula, why sure? Why is it so obvious that he could? Because once you put your hands into the Azara, that's Bia B'Mikdash. That's considered a partial entrance, and that shouldn't be okay. And the Gemara, fine. And Ula defended himself from that. On Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, which we went through yesterday, tried to support Ula based on a different Braisa. And the Gemara says it's not such a great support as well. Okay, so this is where we stand right now. A statement by Ula, that Bia B'Mikdash Shema Bia, that a partial entrance is considered an entrance into the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, if you do so while being Tameh, you're going to get Malkus. That is the opinion of Ula. And we continue. Ravina Amar on top of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Ravina Amar Linyan Malkus Itmar. Ravina says, you misunderstood. Or, no, you didn't misunderstand Ula, but you read too much into Ula. You thought Ula, when he was making the statement in the name Reish Lakish, you thought that what he meant was is that you're going to get Malkus and it's an Issur Kares. Now, as I just mentioned, that's a simple pshat. That really is what he seems to be saying. Because the Gemara says, look, it's Bia B'Mikdash, Shema Bia. That's considered like you walked in. And we know what happens when you walk in while being Tameh. You're going to get Kares. So that's a simple pshat. Ravina says, no, I know that's a simple pshat, but that's not what he means. What he means is, you're just going to get Malkus. That's it. But it's not an Issur Kares to put your hands into the Beis HaMikdash. And why does he say that? How does that help us? So Rashi over here explains, because it saves us from the Gemara's question back on Lamed Beis. Look at the second Rashi on the page. Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Rashi writes, "Kedekamar loke beheji avalole in karis the tusva mitzora shara keri." Remember, the Gemara spent all of its time asking about the question about the mitzora who was also about keri. Dechi itkish bil negil azari itkish kedechsev lo savo avalo onish lo itkish. You don't get punished karis for putting your hands in. Dein onish benegia. And remember, that really, in other words, Ravina's pshat, although it's not the simple pshat in Ula, really helps us out. Because now the Gemara says, going back to Lamed Beis, Amud Beis, wait a second, how can you put your hands into the Beis HaMikdash? Aren't you going to be Chayv Kares? So the answer is, no, you're not going to be Chayv Kares. Meaning it's just a lav, it's just a negative prohibition. And if putting my hands, if advancing my hands into the Azara will allow me to eat the Karm Pesach tonight, so then it's a no-brainer, of course I'm going to do it. Okay, that is really, I should have read that yesterday, that really is the end of the whole Ula Sugya. Okay, that is one version of how we have Ula quoting in the name of Reish Lakish. Partial entrance into the Beis HaMikdash is considered entrance. Ki asa ravin amar Rabbi Abahu. The Gemara continues now. We're on the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Ravin comes in. Amar Rabbi Abahu le'inyan tamishanaga bekodesh etmar. Okay, he says, no, you got it wrong. When you quoted Reish Lakish, So you thought that Reish Lakish was talking about partial entrance into the Beis HaMikdash. That's not what he was talking about. But rather, he was talking about a tame that touches Kodesh. Reish Lakish amar loka, Rav Yochanan amar eino loka. This is what Reish Lakish says you're going to get malchus for. If you're tame and you touch Kodesh. Kodesh means referring to anything, any carbon or any meat of a carbon, and you are tame and you touch it. So Reish Lakish says you're subject to malchus. Reish Lakish amar loka. Now Reish Lakish says you're going to get malchus. How do I know it? Bechol Kodesh lo siga uve mikdash lo savo. Okay, so he learns it out from the pasuk regarding the woman who gave birth. We'll go back to that pasuk. We will explain that pasuk in more detail. Rav Yochanan Amar, let me just read a little more Gemara first, and then we'll go to the pasukim. Rav Yochanan Amar, ino loke ha'u b'truma ksiv. And Rav Yochanan says, no, it's referring to truma. It's not referring to Kodesh. Okay. Let's take a moment to look at these pasukim over here. This is the woman who gave birth. Right, woman who gives birth, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, we're in Perek Yud Beis, short Perek in Chumash. Perek Yud Beis of Parshat Tazria. Daber al b'nei Yisrael Lemor, Yisha ki Tazria, v'yalda zachar v'tamah shiva samim, ki mei nidas dosa titma. So, first of all, so for 7 days, she's tamei. Uve yom hashmini, now what happens on the 8th day after birth? So, v'yom hashmini, yom ha-basar al-asa. So that's Mila. Shloshim yom ha-shoshim yom ha-shoshim yom ha-shoshim. And now, for the next 33 days, okay. Now, for what happens for the next 33 days? V'chol kodesh lo siga v'el ha-mikdash lo savo. She can't touch sacrificial food, right? V'el ha-mikdash lo savo, she can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash. Ad melos yemei tahara, until the days of tahara are over. Now, it's confusing, admittedly, because the Torah, when describing those next 33 days, it calls it yemei tahara, days of purity. Right? Days of purity, but she can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash. She can't touch Kodesh. So why is the Torah calling it Days of Purity? But that's easy though. It's called Days of Purity because Dam that comes out of her during those days is not Dam Tameh, it's Dam Tahor. An interesting halacha that comes out from a woman who gives birth, and that is that if she gives birth to a boy, she will experience 33 days of discharged blood that's not Dam Nida. It's not Dam Nida, it's not Dam Ziva, it's nothing. It's Dam Tahora. Right? Okay, that's the Halach Min HaTorah. The Gaonim already instituted a Chumra, just everyone should know, just put it out there, that we do not treat the Dam that comes out of her to be Dam Tahora. Even though Me'ikar Adin, according to strict letter of the law, Torah says it's Dam Tahora. Okay, but already going back to the period of the Gaonim, they cite that we don't practice this way. Good. But we're interested, so just explaining simple pshat in the pesuk and why it's called Yemei Tahara. But we're interested really in the part of the pasuk that says, Bechol kodesh lo siga ve'ala mikdash lo savo. Those are lavim. Those are negative prohibitions. Absolutely. And the Torah says that she can't touch Kodesh and she can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because she's still in a state of Tumah. Right. Now, Reish Lakish says, we are going to extrapolate. From these psukim, we're going to say that anyone who is Tameh cannot touch Kodesh. Anyone who's Tameh cannot walk into the Beis HaMikdash. That's the simple pshat according to Reish Lakish of how to understand these psukim. Good. So let's go back to the Gemara. Let's see this inside in the Gemara. Reish Lakish amar loke b'chol kodesh lo siga. So Reish Lakish says, good, I have my pesukim over here by the woman who gave birth. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Eino Loke. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no. If you're Tameh and you touch Kodesh, you're not going to get Malkus. Okay, why not? Because Hahu B'Truma Ksiv. Rabbi Yochanan's of the opinion that these pesukim over here are dealing with Truma. Okay, now how does he know that? How does Rabbi Yochanan know that these pesukim are talking about Truma? There is no indication that these pesukim are talking about Truma. In fact, the Torah says, Bechol Kodesh Lo Siga. The word Kodesh usually is a reference to carbon, not to Truma. Now, Truma has Kedusha, that we understand. But how do you know that? So Rashi over here takes us through the thought process of Rav Yochanan. But Truma Ksiv, look at Rashi right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Rashi writes, Kedemucha Chsefa Dekra. It is in the Pesukim, but you got to tease it out of the Pesukim. Ad Melos Yemei Tahara, She Ya'ariv Shimsha, Shehi Tvulas Yom Aruch. This woman, from day 7 to day 40, right, at the conclusion of day 7, she is now what's called the Toveles Yom. Okay, a tvul yom. Now, usually, let's first understand what we normally mean when we talk about a tvul yom. A tvul yom means somebody who's tamei, or a woman who's tamea, they tovel in the mikveh that day, and then they have to wait until sunset. From the time that they tovel in the mikveh until sunset, they are called the tvul yom, right? They still have a little bit of residual tumah left until the sun sets. Once the sun sets, that's it now. They can eat shuma, they can walk into the Beis HaMikdash, they're good. This woman, after having given birth, at the conclusion of the seventh day, let's assume it's a boy, at the conclusion of the seventh day, she now goes to the mikvah. On the seventh day, I should say, she goes to the mikvah. That night now, she starts a long period of tvul yom. Or not even that night, I should say, right after she tovels in the mikvah. She will go through a 33-day period of tvul yom. Meaning that's not normal. Normally a tvul yom period lasts from the time you tovel in the mikvah until the evening. That's a regular period of tvul yom. Here, this woman will go 33 days of tvul yom. So it's what Rashi describes here as shehi tvulas yom aruch. She tovels b'shvil aleid asa. She tovels in the mikvah on the seventh day. V'chol yemei torah sholah harei ketovels yom. Now, during her yemei tahara, remember, that's the 33 days. It's called that because the dam that comes out is dam tahor. So she is tovels yom. Uvi yom mem ve'echad. Now on the 41st day, mevi'a karbana, she brings a karban. Midichsiv lo siga ad malos. Ava mishayim l'uya meha siga. So now, here is how Rav Yochanan deduces that we're talking about truma. Because for those 33 days now, the Torah says to her, don't touch. Don't touch the don't touch Kodesh. Rav Yochanan says it has to be talking about truma. Why? Because at the end of her tvul yom, she can then touch. Right? Va'afilu mechuseres kapara akarchach b'truma ksiv. Has to be talking about truma. Because when you conclude your tvul yom status, at that point, what can you do? You could touch truma. What can't you do? You can't yet touch Kodesh. So the fact that the Torah says that for those 33 days, she shouldn't touch Kodesh, and we know that for those 33 days, she's the status of tvul yom, it means at the conclusion of the 33 days, it's okay to touch Kodesh. It must be that Kodesh here is talking about truma, not about higher level kedusha. Dilin Kodesh Ashitavi Kaparasa, because we know, says Rashi, that as far as Kodesh is concerned, she has to bring her karban on the 41st day. And everything that I just went through, says Rashi, is in the Gemara in Yavamos. So you can see the Gemara in Yavamos that basically spells all this out. Now, the Kevin de Betruvan Ksiv, Lo Yafina Makas de Kodesh. Now, Rashi says, let's go to the next step. Good. So now, through process of elimination, we know that this psukim deal with truma, not with kodesh. So Rashi says, why not make a very simple kavachomer? Really simple. Look, let's put together the following argument. She can't touch truma during those 33 days because she's a tful yom, and if by doing so she's going to get malchus, she can't touch kodesh. If I'm not allowed to touch truma, I'm certainly not allowed to touch kodesh. And shouldn't I make that kal v'chomer to say, if I touch Kodesh, I'm going to get Malkus? So Rashi says, we don't do that. They came into B'chum Ksiv, lo yafin Malkus de'Kodesh, v'afilu b'kal v'chomer. De'in mazirin min adin. Because one of the basic rules in terms of punishment, even though it's a logical sentence, it's a reasonable conclusion, we don't punish based on a kal v'chomer. Halachin can be derived through kal v'chomer, but not punishment. Punishment cannot be derived through kal v'chomer. So therefore, all we're left with, according to Rav Yochanan, is that these psukim over here, v'chol kodesh lo siga, is talking specifically about truma. Rashi takes us through the step-by-step argument of how we know it's talking about truma. Can we extend it beyond truma? No, we cannot, because of Ein Mazir Min Adin. All right.
And how does she bring the carbon? Same smicha issue.
So you're right. It'll be the same.
You can't go in.
Correct. Correct. It'll be. It'll be.
By the door. That whole
process.
That one is
okay.
Her husband brings it.
No, she'll bring it. But I'm saying she'll bring it, meaning she'll appoint somebody to bring it for her.
Why do you have to say it's a kol kodesh? It says b'chol kodesh lo sigai. Everybody's saying that it includes truma. The pasuk seems to be including both.
Right.
It's that, not kavachomer, then there would be omishim.
Correct. In fact, the Gemara later on is going to pick up on the b'chol. And Rav Yochanan does not. Rav Yochanan does not see any significance in the word b'chol. Right? But no, you're right, though. The Gemara is going to pick up on that. Rav Yochanan may naloka obitcha maksif. Reish lakish, hai krala hach. Okay, good. All right, so before we go on. All right, so we have now a totally new version of what Reish Lakish says, meaning the statement of Reish Lakish is you're going to get Malkus. The original statement back on Lamed Beis was you're going to get Malkus for putting your hands into the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Bia B'Mikdash. The Gemara says no. We have now, not no, but that's one version of what Reish Lakish says. Here now we are starting, embarking on a new version of what Reish Lakish says, which is that if a Tommy person touches Kodesh, he's going to get Malkus. That's the Chiddush of Reish Lakish, that for touching Kodesh you're going to get Malkus. And how does Reish Lakish know it? From these psukim over here in Parshas Tazria. Reish Lakish, I call Achu Das, Ami Baile Lazar, Loch, Abasa Kodesh. So the Gemara now says, wait a second, I'm going to find a stira within Reish Lakish. Because we know that Reish Lakish says that these psukim are already dedicated. And when you know the rule. Once you have psukim dedicated, you can't go back and double dip and reuse the psukim. These psukim are already dedicated, and they're dedicated to teach us that if a tamei person eats kodesh, he's going to get malchus. How do I know that if you eat kodesh while being in a state of tuma, you're going to get malchus? He learns it from this pasuk. Now the Gemara is going to make the point in just a moment. Wait a second. Pasuk, I'm not talking about eating. The pasuk says b'chol kodesh lo siga. You're not allowed to touch. Okay, so come back to that point in just a moment. That's the obvious question. We'll come back to it. Rav Yochanan amar tini bar de la asya tumasa mibias mikdash. Malahalan enosh vihizir afkan enosh vihizir. Rav Yochanan agrees that if a tummy person eats kodesh, you're going to get malchus, but he learns it out through gzeira shava, which apparently Reish Lakish did not have. Okay, but in the meantime, however, before dealing with some of the more obvious questions, let's just go with the flow of the Gemara. Let's follow the thread of the Gemara. The Gemara says it's basically challenging Reish Lakish. How are you telling me that the Psukim in Parshas Tazria is talking about getting Malkus for touching Kodesh when you, Reish Lakish, says that these Psukim are coming to teach us about a tummy person eating Kodesh? Right? So how did you do that? So the Gemara says, Tamisha Naga Bekodesh Medavke Rechman Abalash Negiyo. Good. So Reish Lakish says, look, Pshuto Shal Mikra. Meaning, you're right. Really, I darshan from these psukim. And I learn out from these psukim that you're going to get Malkus for a tummy eating Kodesh. Correct. But don't walk away from Pshuto Shal Mikra. There's still the simple Pshat in the Pasuk. Right? Read the Torah. Right? If she's not allowed to touch Kodesh, during these 33 days, period. So I have Pshuto Shal Mikra. So Reish Lakish says I'm not going to walk away from Pshuto Shal Mikra. I'll still leave Pshuto Shal Mikra intact, and on top of that, I'm also going to darshan as well. As harloch amid the itkish kodesh lamikdash, and as far as eating, well, because there's a hekesh between kodesh and mikdash. Okay, and do we understand that hekesh? We're going to understand a little bit better right now. Tanya Kavasi de Reish Lakish. We have a brisa that supports Reish Lakish. And the brisa reads like this. Here, the brisa says exactly what Reish Lakish says. That the Torah says that this azhara, this warning, is for ochel, is for eating. Well, how did you get there? How did you know that the Torah is talking about eating? It doesn't say eating, it says touching. Because the Torah says two things. The Torah says, don't touch Kodesh and don't walk into the base of Mikdash, right? Woman who just gave birth. Mekish Kodesh leMikdash. We have over here Ekish. Ma Mikdash Davar Sheish Bo Netilas Neshama. Av Kodesh Davar Sheish Bo Netilas Neshama. Because I have to assume that once the Torah tells us two ideas, the two ideas have to be on the same playing field. Okay. And follow the argument over here. Walking into the Beis HaMikdash while being Tameh, we all know that's an Issur Kares. Right? Now, touching Kodesh while being Tameh, is that an Issur Kares? No. It's just a lav. Eating Kodesh while being Tameh, no, that's an Issur Kares. Go back to Parshat Tzav. Pasuk Chaf. The hanefesh, Asher tochal basar mizevach hashlamim asher lehashem v'tumaso alav v'nirchrasa nefesh ha'im me'ameha. Right? So in Parshat Tzav, the pasuk tells us straightforward that if you eat kodesh while being tameh, you're going to get kares. So the Bryce over here says, look, the fact that these psukim in Perek Yud Beis in Parshas Tazria is telling us kodesh and mikdash, they have to be talking about something on the same playing field, or something on the same level. Touching kodesh while being tameh is only a lav. Eating kodesh while being tameh, that's kares. That's how I know that the kodesh, the negia b'kodesh that's mentioned over here in the psukim, is talking about eating and not touching. Okay, b'chol kodesh lo sigah azar lo ochal ata omer azar ayin oel nogea tamal omer b'chol kodesh lo sigah v'la mikdash lo sevo mikish kodesh lo mikdash ma mikdash tov v'shesh bon n'tilas t'shama. I'm sorry, I read that already. Av kodesh tov v'shesh bon n'tilas t'shama v'i b'nogea n'tilas t'shama mi'ika. There is no iser kares for touching kodesh. So ela be'achila. So it must be achila. Fine. Okay, so good. So now we kind of ironed out Reish Lakish. Right, Reish Lakish's position now is clear. It goes like this. If you eat kodesh while in a state of tumah, you're going to get kares. I don't need Reish Lakish. I have a pasuk in the Torah for that. Good. If I touch kodesh while in a state of tumah, according to Reish Lakish, that is a negative prohibition in the Torah. It's a lav. You're going to get malchus. Where does Reish Lakish learn that from? Learns it from the psukim in Parshas Tazria. Okay, and Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan says, no, you're not going to get malchus for that because the Torah there is talking about Shuma, not about Kodesh, and we already went through the step-by-step process how Rav Yochanan arrived at that conclusion. Finishing up this thread, V'akatami bai lele tamashalcha basa kodesh lefnei zrika. Wait a second. I still need the psukim to teach me, according to Reish Lakish, that I'm going to get malchus if I eat meat while being tameh before zrika. Okay, now, obviously this is extraordinarily complex. Now, we have a new layer to the prohibition. Right, after zrika, meaning now it is kodesh. It's formally kodesh, meaning the kohanim would eat it if it's a chatas, and the owners would eat it if it's a shlamim. Before zrika, it's in this funny stage of life, meaning it's not yet kodesh in the sense that no one's allowed to eat it yet, but certainly it has kedusha, meaning it was designated as a karban. So what's the status of it before zrika? It's like almost like in this embryonic stage, right, of not yet prepared to be consumed by the normal karban eaters.
If you ate, wouldn't that be me'ila if you ate it before that?
Isn't me'ila.
Even before, I think the same thing, even before shechita, there's me'ila.
It's funny. The Gemara doesn't breathe the word of Mi'ila, but it's not. I'm not rejecting the question.
You're getting hana from it, and it's.
You're getting hana from a carbon.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, I'm unsure, but the Gemara.
You're supposed to eat it anyway, so it wouldn't be.
No, it doesn't belong to.
Right now, before Zrika, correct. Understood, but Reish Lakish is about to tell us. Is that if you eat it before zrika, you're going to get malchus. The Gemara is just right now focused on the technical aspect, which is how can you learn these psukim regarding right a tameh who eats, a tameh who touches. You need that pasuk to tell us another halacha, which is a tameh who eats it before zrika. Right? The Gemara is just focused on the technical aspects of how you know what we're learning out from these psukim. Okay, I'm not sure. So. So once again, he dips into this pasuk again to tell me that you're going to get malchus for eating meat kodem zrika. Loshna lefnei zrika, veloshna lacher zrika. Doesn't matter before zrika or after zrika. Rav Yochanan amar eino loke kidney bar de la asya tumasa tumasa. Rav Yochanan says you're not going to get malchus because he keeps going back to this gzera shabav tumasa. V'chi kasav ahu lachar zrika. And that gzera shabav is only after zrika. So once again, according to Reish Lakish, how are we using and reusing? We're recycling psukim And look, we're all in favor of recycling, but you can't recycle psukim. It doesn't work that way. So imkein lemakra bekodesh, my bechol kodesh, mamina tarte. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. According to Reish Lakish, you know how we generate it? Because the word kodesh in of itself tells us you're not allowed to eat and you're not allowed to touch. Bechol kodesh tells us afilu lifnei zrika, even before zrika as well. Okay, so it's derived through the extra word bechol. Good. What comes out over here, according to Reish Lakish is our, he's our Malkus guy for today. Malkus for eating Kodesh while being Tame. Not just Malkus, by the way, it's an Issachares, right? That's Parshat Tzav. Malkus for touching Kodesh while being Tame. Malkus for touching Kodesh while being Tame even before Zrika was done. According to Reish Lakish, for all that, you're going to get Malkus for Rav Yochanan, only for eating Kodesh while being tummy, you're going to get Malkus. For all the above, for everything else, you're not going to get Malkus, according to Rav Yochanan. Eating before Zrika. Gufa. Tame shalcha basakos of Nezrika, Reish Lakish amaloka, Rav Yochanan amar enoloka. Amar Abaye. Okay, so now, get ready for a little more complexity. We have so far a machlokas between Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. What is the status of a tummy person who eats a karban before Zrikas Adam, before the sprinkling of the blood? Okay, and we know now that according to Reish Lakish, you're going to get malchus. According to Rav Yochanan, there is no malchus. Good. So far, so good.
What? Rav Yochanan says there is no penalty at all. Not even forget about.
I'd say it's an iser. But certainly an Isser, but not one punishable by Malkus. Okay. So, Amar Abaye, Machlokis betumas hagof. Okay. So far, this Machlokis Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, I want to minimize it, I want to limit it. It's limited only to tumas hagof, meaning you're tamei and you're eating the karban. Aval betumas basar, but if the meat is tamei and you're tahor, devre hakol loka. Everyone agrees you're going to get Malkus. Why? The Amakra, the Habasar. How can the meat be Tame? Well, someone else was Matame the meat. Someone else got their hands on the meat who was Tame. So the meat's Tame and you're Tahor, and now you're eating Basar Tame. Everybody agrees you're going to get Malkus.
How does it become liquid to be mashed to be Tame?
Okay, so first of all, the blood that's coming out of the neck of the animal could be that liquid to be makshir.
We learned that doesn't make it makshir. The blood that comes out of the animal doesn't make it makshir.
Somebody came out with a hose and poured water on it. Okay. Fair points. Somehow becomes tame. And again, for this, we go back to Parshat Tzav. In Parshat Tzav, again, let me just go through the relevant psukim. Pasuk Yutes. We're in Perek Zayin and Parshat Tzav. The Habasar Shir Yigah B'chol Tamei Lo Ye'achal. Meat that comes into contact with something Tamei, you cannot eat that meat. Ba'eshi Saref, you have to burn it. The Habasar Kotar Yocha Basar. And meat which is Tahar, the Habasar Kotar Yocha Basar. I'm sorry, and meat, a Tahar person should eat the meat. Meaning meat that's Tahar, not Tamei. And then we go on to the next pasuk, which we quoted earlier. And if you're tamei, benichrasa nefesh me'amehem. Fine. Again, Abai and Rava say like this. Let's limit amachlokus between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. They say that before Zrikas Adam, so they're duking it out. Reish Lakish says you're going to get Malkus, and Rav Yochanan says no, you're not. Okay. However, if the meat is tamei, then we don't care before Zrika, after Zrika, anyone who eats meat, if the meat is Tamei, is subject to Malkus. Abai and Rav, this is Abai's position. Abai says, how do I know that? Because look, let's make the following argument. We have a pasuk that says Vahabasar. Now, there's an extra hay, there's an extra vav. I'm not 100% sure where the ribui is, but there's a ribui. And Larabos Eitzim Lavona. And what is it coming to include? Listen to this. It's coming to include Eitzim Ulavona. Wood and frankincense.
Wow.
Dala b'nei achila nenu. Now, immediately we recognize those are not edible items. Okay. Now, a lot of technical points over here. Let me see if I can clarify a lot of this Gemara. First and foremost, wood, meaning we're talking about wood that's going to go up onto the Mizbeach in order to be used for fuel for the fire. Okay? We're talking about logs of wood. Okay. First and foremost, the fact that it's not edible, let's just ignore that right now. Okay? Right. What I want to discuss for just a moment is, how does it become tamei? How does a wood become tamei? We know, as one of the most general rules regarding tama, is that things that are susceptible to tama are kalim. It has to be a kli, it has to be a functional utensil. And if it's made out of wood, it needs a toch, it needs an inch, it has to be like a cup, right? It has to have shape, form, it has to have utility. There are only 30 prakim of Masechta Kalim that give us the basic rules and regulations in terms of what is a kli. Good. So, and it's one of the most basic rules. So, first and foremost, how does wood become tamei? Right? We're saying over here that if you eat tamei wood, even though it's not edible, you're going to get malchus. Right? How did the wood become tamei to begin with? So Rashi over here introduces us to an idea, and we're going to see this idea a lot through Masechta Zvachim. Okay, so I think, yeah, this is the first time that we're bringing it out. L'rabos eitzim ulevona. L'tumas asmam, d'chibas hakodesh michshartam. There is this concept called chibas hakodesh. I don't have good English translation for it. Chiba means lover, right? Affection. Right? The chibas hakodesh. It has an affection, an affinity towards kodesh. Okay. Anything used in the Beis HaMikdash, kli or otherwise, has it's beautiful. It's more sensitive, right? So even though in the regular world, in the outside world, in the quote unquote real world, it's not going to be susceptible to tumah, because in order for that it has to be a functional kli. Once you're in the Beis HaMikdash, and once you now have the status of what's called chibas hakodesh, it's machshir. It makes it now susceptible to tumah. So even though the wood is not a kli, it can become tamei through this concept of chibas hakodesh.
Any kli shard?
Anything. That doesn't have to be a kli. It could be a block of wood. As long as it's used in the performance of the avodah, it can become susceptible to tumah. Now, does this idea work on a daraisa level? I'm not 100% sure, but from the Gemara it certainly seems that way. Because what Reish Lakish is saying, what Abaye is saying is, you're going to get malchus. I mean, you're only getting malchus if you violate Nisar Torah. Right? You don't get malchus the Rabbanan. But in other words, here in this discussion, we're talking on a daraisa level. So it certainly seems from this discussion that Chibas HaKodesh is a daraisa idea. It's a daraisa concept.
Is it similar to Tashmisha Kedusha?
Well, I'll tell you what. Look at Rashi again, because I stopped in the middle. L'tumas atzman d'chibas HaKodesh mechshartam l'shavinu uchla. It basically turns it into food. Meaning, right, what are you going to say? That block of wood is now a kli? It's not a kli. Meaning we have rules for what is and what isn't a kli. So you know what it's like? It's like food. Okay, now, again, it's still a stretch. Meaning, whatever you want to say, it's a kli, it's food, it's going to be a stretch of what it, because it isn't. It isn't a kli, it isn't food. But chibas hakodesh makes it more food-like. L'shavin uchla v'af agav dahani la b'nei achila ninu u'basu l'fnei zrik alo gariminayhu. So, this is now Abai's argument. Look, if eating wood, which is not normally what I sit down to eat for dinner, but if eating wood is going, right, which becomes tamei, is going to be subject, you're going to be subject to malchus, so meat before zrika, right, you don't think you're going to get malchus for that as well? If the meat before zrika is tamei, good. This is a Abaye's argument that basar kodem zrika is subject, which is tamei, and Atari eats it, is subject to malchus. Okay.
How far does this extend? Meaning, like, the Mizbeach, right? The outside Mizbeach is stone.
Right.
Right. So we're not only doing Kabbal Torah.
Right.
So you say, because of Chibas HaKodesh, it's used in this, in the Avodah, it now can become Tamei.
All right. It's fair questions. I don't know how far we're going to take this idea. I don't know. Meaning the Gemara talks about it a number of places. I don't have a good memory in terms of where this concept comes from, but it's out there. Good. So the Gemara, this is a biased position. Good. So this is a biased position. Rava Amar, and Rava says, no, I disagree. Meaning, I agree in principle that we're going to take Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan and we're going to limit them, but I disagree with your limitation. Rava Amar Machlokas B'Tumas Aguf. The whole debate between the two of them is Tumas Aguf. Aval B'Tumas Abasar Devar Kol Ein Aloke. When it comes to Tumas Basar, everyone agrees you're not going to get Malkus. My time of Kevin de Lo Karina Be B'Tumas Alav V'Nichrasal Lo Karina Ba Basar Sheyiga B'Chol Tamei Lo Yachol. Because look, I have two psukim back to back in Parshat Tzav. I have one pasuk v'tumaso alav v'nechrasa, and I have another pasuk of baso isha yiga b'chol tamei. So, in other words, there is the Torah. It's a hekesh. It's not a hekesh. It's smicha. It's smicha. It's juxtaposing two psukim together. But whatever the case is, I know if it applies to one, it applies to the other. Habasa asher yiga b'chol tamei is basically online with hanefesh asher tocha basar. Hanefesh asher tocha basar, that's talking about after zrika. How do I know that? Because, I'm sorry, let's go back. Habasa asher yiga b'chol tamei lo yacha b'eshi sarei v'habasa kol tar yocha basar. Because the end of the pasuk, it's a little strange, but the way it's structured, but basically says, your tummy, you can't eat it. But if you're tahor, you can't eat it. That's after Zrika. That's not before Zrika. So we know that Pasuk Yates is talking about after Zrika. Now we'll go to Pasuk Chav, after Zrika as well. This is the argument of Rava. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's go back to our wood point. Because this wood point right, had it for Abaye. Abaye says, if you're going to get malchus for eating wood, you don't think you're going to get malchus for eating meat before zrika? So, I do make the argument that when you get malchus for eating wood, that's only if the wood was put into a kli shareis. Did non kol sheyesh lo matir mishikarvu matirav kol sheein lo matirin mishikarish bekli. It's only after kish bekli, after we're sanctifying the kli, then and only then are you going to get malchus feeding of the wood. But the wood by itself, you're not going to get malchus for.
Again, going back to the whole concept, if you use the wood, that's time. Wouldn't that be meal again? Because you're like, you know, isn't it, if it's considered one of the kli of
Well, a meal is where you get benefit. Right. Where right, you're misappropriating. You're getting some sort of benefit from it.
Right.
So I'm not sure if that's the right place for me'ila, but still, okay. Good machlokus between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan in terms of getting malchus for touching tummy food, for eating tummy food. A machlokus between Abai and Rava in terms of how to understand and limit the machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Okay.
But no one tells us where it comes from that you get malchus for eating wood.
Well, no, it's habasar. The Gemara says the habasar is a riboy and the meat, and not just the meat, but other things that are food-like. And I know, like wood. Like wood. What is food-like? And again, normally we would never say that, but there's this concept of Chibas HaKodesh, and Chibas HaKodesh, you know, makes it... Look, it's difficult to understand. I'm not here to say that wood is food, but in a certain sense, though, we keep treating the Mizbeach as a consumer. So, right, we keep going back to that. So if the Mizbeach is a consumer, anything on the Mizbeach is food, right? But then, obviously, the chiddush is that even if I eat it, and I don't subsist on wood, but even if I eat it, it's also considered food as well. And if it's tamei, so then I'm going to get malchus. Right? That's obviously a huge chiddush, but we go there. The Gemara goes there with that point. Okay. Itmar. New topic. Really not related. The only thing I could say in terms of...
What happened to Ula? He fell out of this whole thing.
No.
He started
the whole thing. Two versions of Ula. No. No, he didn't fall out. In other words... Two versions of what Ula said. Ula quotes Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is certainly the one who's going to give Malkus for what? So on Lamed Beis, Amud Beis, one version of what he said. And on Lamed Yom Amud Beis, the second version of what he said. Okay? That's it. Itmar, new discussion. Okay. You want to be innovative. You want to be creative. Right? Every time you go to the Beis HaMikdash, it's another lamb, it's a sheep, it's a cow, it's a bull. Right? Even birds, you know, birds and flower. But you, in other words, there's so many animals that we're allowed to eat as Jewish people. Right? And there's a whole category of animals called chaya. Right? Chaya. The, not yet. I'll get to, wait, hold on, I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. We're not there yet. You want to be even more creative. Right? Forget the kosher animals. You want to bring a non-kosher animal up onto the Mizbeach. Rashi says you want to bring a horse up onto the Mizbeach. You want to bring a camel up onto the Mizbeach. You really want to, go out there. You want to spread. Reish Lakish Amar Lokas. So Reish Lakish says you're going to get Malkus. Good. One thing that's consistent today, Reish Lakish is ready for the Malkus. He's ready. That's the one thing if you want to help you remember today's Gemara. Rav Yochanan Amar Eino Lokas. Reish Lakish Amar Lokas Tahari Into Mei Alom. V'lav Abba Mechlala say Lokin Alom. Reish Lakish has a tremendous chiddush, which is, look, it's a mitzvah saseh, meaning the Torah tells you what to do, which is all for your cow, all for your sheep, all for your lamb, all for kosher animals, and by process of deduction, right, it's a lav haba mechlal aseh. I know that non-kosher animals are not eligible. Not because the Torah says don't, but the Torah tells what to do, and it's deduced, it's inferred. It's a lav haba mechlal aseh. Good. Everyone agrees to that concept. It's now a question of, do you get Malkus? Lav haba mechlal aseh. We hold you don't. That's the normative accepted psak. You don't get Malkus for a lav haba mechlal aseh. Reish Lakish says you do. Okay? So for a lav haba mechlal aseh, Reish Lakish says you're going to get Malkus. Rav Yochanan Amar ein lokin alav, lav haba mechlal aseh, ein lokin alav. So really there's no disagreement in terms of what is prohibited. You can offer non-kosher animals up on the Mizbeach. Everyone agrees to that. The only point of departure between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan is, are you going to get Malkus? Reish Lakish says, yeah, and Rav Yochanan says, no. Most of Rav Yirmiyah says, wait a second, I can't be. Look at the following braisa. Osa tochlu v'lo behema tameya. V'lav haba mechlal aseh aseh. The Gemara over here quotes a little snippet. This is a section of Sifra of Torah's Kohanim. Rashi over here says that in the Braisa, basically the Braisa goes on to say that this is talking about eating kosher versus non-kosher food. The Osato Chelu. The Torah gives us a list of those things that you're allowed to eat. Okay? Meaning if the Torah would have stopped there, I would have said, good. By process of elimination, I know. If I'm allowed to eat then, I'm not allowed to eat the others as well. And then the Torah says, and here's a list of what not to eat. Why did the Torah go to step two? So the Braisa goes on to explain. Because step one is insufficient in terms of punishment. You're not going to get punished if it's only a iser aseh. If it's only deduced from what the Torah tells me what to do, and by process of elimination I know now which animals not to eat, that's only a lav haba mechlal aseh, and you're not going to get malchus for that. So from the Braisa, it seems very clear that lav haba mechlal aseh, you don't get malchus for. So Amalei Rav Yaakov, Rav Yirmiyah bar Techlifa, Azbar Alach, Be'evre Behema Temeya. So the Gemara says, good. All right, point well taken. Nobody argues on the concept of lav haba mechlal aseh, you're not going to get malchus. In fact, you got it wrong again. And maybe that's also why this whole debate is brought down over here. This is really totally tangential from what we're doing. Right? We are right now in the third parak of Zvachim and learning about Kabbalah of a pasul, and we're on to this topic of offering non-kosher animals up on the Mizbeach. It could be also that it's the Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan debate, it's a Malkus versus not Malkus debate, and it's also you got Reish Lakish wrong, right? Which parallels the previous discussion as well. The Avery Behema Temeya, the Kuli Amlo Pligi, Ki Pligi Bechaya. Good. When you offer non-kosher animals up on the Mizbeach, the Gemara says, there's no argument over there whatsoever. Meaning that's a lav haba mechlal aseh.
And you don't get malchus? Or you do?
No, you don't get malchus, right? It's a lava b'machlase. And the hachi itmar. The issue over here is offering non-kosher animals up onto the mizbeach, right? I'm sorry, chaya. Sorry,
kosher.
Right? I'm still in my confusion. We're talking about offering kosher animals up on the mizbeach. Rav Yochanan Omer over ba'asei, Rav Shalkosh Omer ino over bevelo klom. And not only that, by the way, but. Right, Reish Lakish for the first time today is going to be Mako. Okay, yes, it's a double reversal. It's a reversal first on what we're talking about, and it's also a reversal on the positions as well. Interesting position by Reish Lakish over here. Right, deer. Right, anyone eat deer recently? They serve it, right? They serve, yeah, in the finer New York restaurants. Okay, no, we don't get it down here in Boca. Fine, but deer. It's a chaya. It's a kosher animal, right? Reish Lakish says you can offer it up on the mizbeach. Now, it's interesting. It's not one of the animals mentioned in the Torah. The Torah is very clear when it comes to karbanos, right? In other areas of halacha, the Torah is very sometimes unclear. The Torah says nothing. When it comes to neder, the Torah says really very little. When it comes to karbanos, the Torah is very clear which animals go up onto the mizbeach. Reish Lakish says, if it's a chaya, if it's a kosher, non-domesticated animal, look, the Torah doesn't say anything about it, but if you want to put it up on the mizbeach, by all means. Rav Yochanan says no. And the Gemara now goes through what is really an interesting machlokas and really fundamental. Rav Yochanan Amar Ovir Basay Behema in Chayalo. Rav Yochanan says, look, Torah tells you what to do. So by process of elimination, I know, only Behema. Domesticated animals, sheep, goat, cow, not deer,
moose,
I guess, right? Tzviva ayal, that's the examples the Torah always gives. Tzviva ayal. So anyway, Reish Lakish, Amar Eino Ovir Bevelo Klom, Ha'ula Mitzvah. No, the Torah's preference of a sheep and goat and cow, that's La Mitzvah. The Torah's just telling you what I prefer. But if you want to bring other kosher animals on, fine. Most of Rava and Reish Lakish's position, albeit interesting, is going to end up being rejected. Most of Rava challenges. Look, we could have entertained the thought. This is a brisa. We could have entertained the thought that behema chaya, chaya is just really a subcategory of behema. Shenamar zosa behema asher tochlu shor se kvasim v'seizim ayel v'tzvi. In fact, in Parshas Re'eh, when the Torah tells us, these behema you're allowed to eat, and then the Torah starts enumerating. And one of the animals, some of the animals the Torah enumerates, are chaya. So you could have easily argued that chaya is part of behema. Behema is just a larger category. Short, ayel v'tzvi. Tamalamar, bakar v'tzon amatilacha, v'lo chaya. So then the Torah says no. Even though behema is a generic term, but then the Torah goes out of its way to tell you exactly which animals. It's kind of like klal uprat. Yacholo yavi v'mehevi kosher. I might have thought, okay, the Torah prefers the cow and sheep, but maybe the mizbech would accept other kosher animals. So halamaz adame. In fact, let's give a simple analogy. The Talmud shamar lo rabbo haveli chitim. The Rebbe says to the Talmud, I'd like wheat. V'hevi lo chitim asorim. And the Talmud comes back and the Talmud says, okay, I brought you wheat and I brought you barley. Like, I know you didn't ask for barley, but it's Ashenu Keman V'yol Dvarav. I didn't contradict what you said, Ella. Most of all Dvarav. I'm just adding to what you said. I guess you can ask the question over here, right, Baltosif. We're not allowed to add. Okay, but still, just in the simple analogy, I didn't contradict what the Rebbe said. I just added to what he said. The kosher, tamalomer bakavitzon amarti lecha v'lo chaya. But once the Torah goes out of its way to say bakavitzon, that means it's exclusionary. Halamazedome again in our simple analogy, tamashamalo rabo al tavili ella chitim. The Rebbe says to the Talmud, I only want wheat. Ve'evi lo chitim asarim shenu kamosav al dvarav ella kamavir al dvarav upasol. So good. So that's the Braisa, and you know how the Braisa concludes, Tiyufta, Dereish Lakish, Tiyufta. It really is the end point of Reish Lakish. So in other words, on this discussion of bringing, first of all, non-kosher animals up on the Mizbeach, we finally concluded that that is not allowed, but you don't get Malkus for that. That's Lav Abba Mechlala say. And then on the other issue of bringing other animals, meaning non-domesticated animals up onto the Mizbeach, Chaya, Tzvi, Ayal, those animals, so the Torah says, by the way, Ayal, don't confuse with Ayal. Ayal's a ram. That's fine. Ayal is whatever they translate it as. Deer, gazelle. Anyway, that's not allowed. Reish Lakish entertained the possibility that that's okay. It's a kosher animal. It's okay. And the Gemara says no. Rejects Reish Lakish out of hand based on a brice that we learned. Good. Okay, pick it up on the top of the two dots. We start with a new sugya tomorrow in the Mishnah.